Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Shop for the Soul is a magnificent transformation to restore, cleanse, and tap into the essence of who you truly are. Beauty Shop for the Soul gives you the experience of a new makeover from inside out. Beauty Shop for the Soul was a universal gift to be birthed into the world to host Joanne Buckner. Joanne received this incredible gift through a meditation to share with others to awaken the soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul is a true magical process of the divine being you truly are. Now sit back, relax, and let Beauty Shop for the Soul take you on a new, exciting journey with host Joanne Buckner.
What is that exactly? For those of you who may not be familiar with it, with Beauty Shop for the Soul today, we want to explore a bit about forgiveness. I would imagine it would be very challenging to find someone among us who's not had an opportunity to forgive themselves or others for imagined or real encounters that cause pain and suffering. Buddha would have said, suffering is a choice. In other words, we get to choose our reaction or our responses to the issues of life that we have unwittingly taken on and allowed ourselves to experience what we call suffering. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have some experiences that make you unhappy, disenchanted, etc., but suffering is the repeated repetition of these kinds of feelings and thoughts of fear, anger, regret, remorse, resentment, anything and everything that is not in alignment with the truth of who you really are will pull you out of alignment with your true essence. And in the true, excuse me, in your true essence and in the understanding of who you are and whose you are, there are certain tools that we can apply wittingly and change the experience that we're having. For example, the loss of a loved one. Everyone responds to that. Most respond with grief, but some are actually relieved, dependent upon the circumstance and condition of the person who made their transition. If you happen to be one that is very well connected with someone who themselves were, go back to the word suffering, experiencing excruciating pain over an extended period of time, it's often a relief to those who are left behind that they are now out of their so-called or their experiences of misery. And so, but the forgiveness really has to do with often the unexpected or unaware behaviors that we have that we feel have been perpetuated against us, making us the victim. But of course, according to the way that we were created to be, none of us were created to be a victim. We're all created with the potential and possibility to be victorious regardless of the circumstances. I had the privilege years before, and I want to just say about forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is basically just a letting go. Letting go of the thoughts, the ideas, the beliefs, the behaviors, all the grief, so that we can experience our true nature, which is actually love, unconditional love. And one of the stories I want to share with you today about unconditional love, you know, it has to do with our understanding of our thoughts, our memories, and the emotions, and their ability to override the body's intelligence. They know now scientifically that something happens internally at a cellular level when we experience extreme stress or even just stress accumulated over a period of time until it becomes congealed in the body and may show up as ulcers, could show up as migraine headaches, it can even show up as something as serious as cancer. And in a few minutes, I want to share some of the work that's been done in the world by people who have been cancer patients like Louise Tate and was able to experience healing and then go on to teach many others around the world how to heal from their circumstances simply because she had applied it herself after having been diagnosed with cancer. But before I get to Louise Tate, and by the way, one of the highlights of my work experience as a practitioner and with Beauty Shop for the Soul. This was actually before the birth of Beauty Shop for the Soul, but the work was still going on. It's not changed, really. It just is on the recognition and the realization of our ability to impact upon our soul in a negative and or a positive way. So one of the stories, it has to do with recently, just last week, it was on the news about a young man in San Diego. It was an extraordinary act of forgiveness by his family. This young man, who was 32 years old, actually was killed on a motorcycle accident, and it was hit and run. On the back of the bike, there was a passenger. This passenger actually, despite the fact that the driver of the motorcycle was able to literally walk away with some very minor injury. But the driver was a hit-and-run driver, and so the family, in their desire, and this is immediate, this is just last week that this happened, but the brother of the young man made a public appeal on television to the driver of the vehicle. And he let him or her, whomever it was, that they held no unforgiveness against them, that the family, the focus of the family would not be on the way that their loved ones, which in this case the brother died, on the way that he lived in life while he was living. This man said that his brother, Mr. O'Brien, did not have a bucket list. He, in fact, was the bucket list himself. And so this 32-year-old man is being remembered not for the tragedy, but for the work that he did in life. Apparently, he had worked in not only the Pacific in Hawaii, but he also worked in Haiti after the earthquake that occurred in Haiti. Jungle, while he was in the jungle, he delivered a child, and the grateful parents were in appreciation to the work that he did as a humanitarian. They named the newborn child after this young man, whose name, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, is Shaman. Anyway, I think that's correct, but forgive me if it's not. They called this young man Indiana Jones just because of his style of work in his humanitarian work and his contribution. But anyway, he served, as I said, in the Pacific and in and Asia as well. So his family is saying to the driver of the car that although they hold no anger or resentment against them, they would like to have closure. And so they are appealing to this person to have the courage to step up and that they're willing to work through this with them, with the driver of the car. So how interesting that is that immediately that was their response, that there was no anger or resentment, hurt, yes, but they are willing to because they just apparently a year before had the experience of another brother. And so this amazing situation is, even as we are speaking, unfolding right now. And so again, Beauty Shop for the Soul is the place where one who has a challenge with not only forgiveness, but with the issues of life, can come and make contact and get to explore the impact on your soul from the choices that you're making or, in some cases, not making. You get to see how you're using your mind in regard to, and how do you know how you're using your mind? Well, in the same way that if you look at an actual garden, you know what kind of seeds have been sown by the harvest or by what is growing in the garden. If it's weeded over or, in fact, maybe not. Perhaps, you know, if you look and you see tomatoes growing, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know tomato seeds were sown, because the law is every seed must multiply after its own kind. And so our thoughts are our seeds, and the soil is our subconscious mind. So if we sow seeds of fear, doubt, disbelief, anger, resentment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then we know what is going to appear in the garden of our lives. So one case of the one we have to forgive the most is, guess who? I'm sure you got it right. It's ourselves. We probably hold more against ourselves than we ever hold against anyone else. And it may not be a conscious choice, but because we have, in our minds, failed to achieve the things that we thought we'd want to, even though we may have not prepared to do so, but we still have this energy on this attachment to the lack of outcome or the outcome. And, of course, when we put our attention on what's missing, what's broken, what's left out, we get to actually experience more and more and more of what's missing, what's broken, and what's left out. So in the refocusing of this, in the realization that we can never really be separated from our, that we live in an infinite universe of abundance, that it is everywhere, present. And how can we tell? If you observe the world around you, you wouldn't be able to, at a beach, count the grains of sand even on a single beach, much less all the beaches throughout the globe. If you looked at the stars at night, you'd never be able to count all the stars in the sky. The same thing goes for the leaves on the tree, or the number of snowflakes that fall, or the number of brown eyes that have existed throughout all of creation. This is an indication of the Creator expressing itself throughout the universe. And so because of this potential to see the abundance of the universe and recognizing that we are created in the image and likeness of the Creator itself, then we know that just like a drop of water from the ocean contains the same elements and aspects of the ocean, we too have the same elements and aspects of the Creator in limitless potential and infinite possibility, that as much as we can understand and contain and apply, we get to experience, express, and demonstrate. It's an ongoing process. It's not as though we're ever finished. We're not. But we can enjoy the ride. So if you have some issues in your life that you are recognizing or centered around your ability to release and let go of hurt for the past. As I look at young children, and I've taught in the primary grades in school as well as at several other levels, and I see some of the things that cause little children to feel bullying is one of the things. There are many other things that can happen. If this is repeated over and over and over, that kind of behavior perpetuated, then there's a buildup, an accumulation of the anxiety, of the fear on the person that is the recipient of this kind of thoughtless behavior, so that over time, without the skills to know how to release and let go, by the time a 5-year-old becomes a 25-year-old, we are going to have on our hands another angry person, be it male or female. The good news is little children are always so forgiving, and it is as adults that if we could observe, as that quote goes, learn with a towel, meaning they don't carry grudges and hurt feelings as we do as adults. And so over time, they get conditioned and trained out of the way that we have come into this, onto this planet, the same as what happened to us. And so one of the people that you probably are so familiar with that is involved in an ongoing process, I imagine it's still ongoing, is Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong, as you know, won the, he's a cyclist who won, was it seven times, the Tour de France. And he was, over a period of time, accused a number of times indulging in illegal drugs. Of course, he denied the charges and continued to ride and win. But over time, can you imagine the weight, the mental, emotional weight that Mr. Armstrong must have been carrying with him as he's riding and kind of concealing actually only to himself in terms, and so then since he knew what he was doing, it wasn't even concealed to him, but he was in denial. And in that denial, he had to be limited in his expression. Although it may have looked like he was having a great and grand and glorious life, traveling around the world, getting all kinds of awards and receiving, what do you call them, the benefits for efforts, but imagine the weight that he carried. We know that when we start the forgiveness process, we actually begin as we release the mental and emotional strain and stress, our physical bodies become lighter because of that biochemical thing that I was mentioning a while ago that happens to us as we are going through this process of indulging in negativity, condemnation, guilt, blame, shame, game, any of those things. Now, what would be the things that are in alignment with truth? Think about, as Michael Rice says in his program of forgiveness. Michael Rice is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Because over and over and over, the same person having the same experience but with a different person or person, it turns out that a realization should dawn or could dawn that the common denominator in all these different parties with the same experience is the ones who have it, the one who has the anger. And so, as Dr. Rice would say, if you are the one with the pain, why is it somebody else? If the one is your perception and the other person or persons are simply triggering this memory, this behavior in you, and through this work of forgiveness from the Aramaic teachings of Jesus, it's not about letting anybody off the hook. It's about realizing that if it were not in you energetically, you cannot recognize it and resonate with it. And by that discovery and willingness to transform the way you look at things, you then begin to transform your life experiences as well. And so Lance Armstrong eventually had to fess up. He acknowledged that he had indulged in illegal drugs. Lance had risen above a troubled childhood. He'd had a bout with cancer, and the whole world was supporting his recovery as he went through the events. However, now he's faced with this confession. And according to Mr. Armstrong, the drugs had actually not been the biggest problem. A greater problem was, in most people's minds, his cockiness and his denials, which he stubbornly continued to do over a very extended period of time, even though some who worked with closely with him were aware and said as much. The public often chose to go with Lance on that. So now he has to extend the repercussions that he made. Have you made decisions about your life? Maybe it's not as drastic as what Mr. Armstrong's was or the hit-and-run driver that I mentioned earlier. But if you're still having an experience of disenchantment, about various parts of your life. It could be your finances. You know that you have a certain amount of talent, skill, ability, a certain amount of education, and yet it's not reflected in your paycheck. Maybe it's not reflected in promotional opportunities. In fact, one of the stories I remember about promotional opportunities is there was a gentleman that worked for an organization, and he worked there for a period of 20 years. They often had promotional opportunities, and as one was announced, this person would apply for this opportunity, and each year he was turned down. Year after year after year, so that a decade passed, and eventually, as he neared the second decade and still had not received a promotion, he was still functioning in the same capacity that he was the year that he started. And so he went into the office to discuss with management his concern about his lack of promotion. And so he said to them, I've got 20 years of experience here, and I have never received a promotion. And management don't have 20 years of experience. You have 1 year of experience 20 times, which is to say that this man was still is like marching time in place. Are you marching time in place? Do you think that you're doing something that is perceived very differently by somebody else? Is your perception deceiving you? When you look at the way you look at things, you get to discover some of these little flaws that we have that over a long period of time have a tremendous effect on us. And again, in Beauty Shop for the Soul, as you assess the way you use your individualized expression of this one infinite intelligence, it is unique for every single person on the planet. But every single person on the planet can change the way they look at things, and the things they look at will change. So as you begin to see how you have set yourself up, and I have certainly had my own experiences of this, and so when I am working with Beauty Shop for the Soul, it is self-application as well as to share it with others. And some of these things are so subtle, they're not all blatant. They were blatant if you were doing drugs and alcohol or healing, etc. Those would be so easy to recognize, but no, that's not always the case. Generally, it is in some way our perception of ourselves in the world, which is reflected back as we look into the world. We can only see ourselves just like looking in the bathroom mirror. Back at you is yours. And so the life that's looking back at you as you look into the world is a life of your perception. The good news about that is you can change that. And so as I said a while ago, change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. And so forgiveness is actually a gift one gives to oneself, a gift one gives to oneself. And as we give this gift to ourselves, automatically our circumstances begin to change, our bodies begin to heal, our relationships become more harmonious, our creativity begins to flourish. So many benefits to letting go and letting the law. The law takes care of itself. There's a scripture that says the battle is not mine, it's the Lord. L-O-R-D. But the Lord is synonymous with law, the universal law. And as the law is always exact and precise. So whatever, and if every thought we have has to have a vehicle for expression, and the expression is through that subconscious area of the mind. And then it becomes manifested. It's like the seed, the soil, and the plant. The seed is your thought, our thought. Soil is the subconscious mind, and the plant is simply the result or the outcome, the outpicturing of the way that we have been thinking and our application of those thoughts. And have them dial the same number you dial, 646-200-4169, and let's explore. Maybe there's something that you could end up with a mastermind partner where you could work on issues I discovered about myself, things that existed years before I even imagined this kind of work even existed. And so once I discovered it, that many of those behaviors I ceased to do. But in the meantime, what about the accumulation of concealed thoughts, the things that resulted from repeated actions and reactions? They still have to be cleared out, just like a smoker accumulates the smoke in the lungs, even though they may stop smoking after 20, 30 years. But there has to be a cleansing, a purification process that occurs. And in this case, you would be blowing smoke. And so that, too, needs to be cleared out in order for you to experience a greater goodness that is available to you in the universe. So there you can answer the call. And if you want to speak, push number one, as the recording said when you dial the number. Push number one and let's explore what happens when we are experiencing anything. And even though there are some of us that are having really wonderful experiences of life, but in the context of infinity, you only so much more. And then maybe you're doing exceedingly well, making a lot of money, but you can't keep a relationship. I had a friend years ago that was married and divorced 7 times by the time they were 40. That's kind of a young age, although with the things, the issues of life that we're talking about have not one thing to do with age. It has to do with wisdom and understanding. As the scripture says, with all thy getting, get thee wisdom, get thee understanding. So that's what Solomon asked for. Because he asked for understanding, he was given all of the other things because there are serendipitous kind of benefits to the wisdom that is given to us. What would you like to have nothing in your life that for whatever reason seems to have been elusive, seems to have been challenging, whether your relationships were great, as I mentioned a while ago, but maybe you have been up until a certain point, maybe up to now, thinking erroneously that you have no creativity. Well, in a way, that's true, but the difference is the creative energy of the entire universe is everywhere present because it is wherever the creator is, and the creator is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniactive, and always, always, as we turn away from the illusions of the world into the deep, fathomless root of our being, we get to discover things like mining for gold, the talent, the skill, and ability that has been dormant there waiting on our recognition of it. I followed in the world religions a few years ago in Melbourne, Australia, and I was fascinated with a number of things. They actually had 500 workshops. One can never attend all of those, probably even in a year, much less in 10 days, and that's how long the time was. But they had there the Sufi monks from Turkey, and I had seen these monks there called the Whirling Dervishes. And these Whirling Dervishes actually whirl. That's where the name comes from. But what I found out that was so impressive about that is not just a graceful dance where they're turning around, or as kids we used to spin around, and of course if you did it for more than a couple of minutes, you're likely to fall on your face. But these guys, as they're turning, so the originator of the Sufi monk was Rumi, who lived in the 12th century. And one day Rumi discovered, as he is observing life around him, the life that seemed to be inanimate as well as just all life. And he realized that all of life is a circle or a cycle. And for example, in our physical body, if the blood didn't circulate, we would basically, the life would leave us. And so every single thing, you have the season, you have the globe, you know. At one time it was thought that the world was flat, but now we don't have that belief anymore. Well, in this dance of the Whirling Dervishes, or in this movement, I don't know that they actually call it a dance, but what they're doing is, first of all, realizing that there is a universal truth, capital T, not T-R-U-E, like today is Sunday, and tomorrow, if we said today is Sunday and it's technically Monday. Sunday, it would not be true. But what is truth is eternal. It is eternal. It is always the same, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Truth is an aspect of the creator of the universe. And all the aspects of the creator are everywhere that the creator is. And since there's not a spot where the creator is not, wherever the creator is, truth is, light is, life is, principle is, all these aspects. And any of these aspects, as it's written in the book by Emmett Fox, the seven main aspects of man, the seven main aspects of God, you can apply any one of these principles to any circumstance or condition that you wish to have healing and be healed. However, if you apply the one most closely related to the circumstances, for example, as a student to learn to obtain knowledge. And, of course, applied knowledge is wisdom. And so if you're wanting to understand more, there's an aspect of the creator that is intelligent, divine intelligence. As you tune in and tap into the divine intelligence, naturally what is required is that you turn away from the illusions of the world, recognizing then that everything that you or I could ever want or need or have has already been established. It already is in the mind of the creator and is available to us as we tune in and tap into that. And so I remember a particular case, a situation for myself. I had a research project that I was doing. I was doing some graduate work at the time. And there was very, very little information available about the person that I had chosen as the subject of this work. And I was doing an internship at a local high school in the area that I lived in. I was assigned, I did a master's in counseling. I was assigned to a particular school and counselor, and this is where I spent the time, I suppose, for several months. And then one day in the midst of this project, when I arrived, I was sent to another area instead of the usual assignment. And when I arrived in this other area, which I did not even know existed, it was so far apart on the campus, when I walked in the room that I would be spending the time that day, there was a revolving bookshelf right in front of my face. If I had kept straight, I would have to walk up into it. And there facing me was a book, and it was about the person who was the subject of the research work that I was doing. And I'm like, oh, my God, I would love to have this book. And that person that I was assisting that day said, take it. And so that's just the way, and there are many other experiences that I've had, and surely if you reflect back over your experiences, you'll discover things that just seem to show up, the ones that we expected or anticipated, but it's someone we least expected. I've had that happen, too. I've had on both sides of the coin. These things happen so that the evidence of things unseen is always around us. But we are like, as Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, said, like radio broadcasting stations. Every single thing has energy, and the energy is always radiating out of us. There's a law of radiance. And so vibrationally, you know, that's the same way that dogs recognize fear that people have. That little tiny baby recognize people whose energy is incompatible with that preborn baby or an infant. So if you want to see about the character of anyone, just put them in the vicinity of a baby or a dog, and you're likely to get an indication of how this person operates. Of course, at the core of everything, we all have the same potential and possibility, but we don't all come from that space. That is, of course, our opportunity. Since we were created equally, but then we've been endowed with this ability to make choices. And these choices sometimes cause us what we call pain and suffering. So in Beauty Shop for the Soul, we can learn how to refocus. It is through literally the renewing of our mind In other words, by letting go of what no longer serves you, and since the universe takes a vacuum, we then have to consciously replace the things that we've gotten rid of, the thoughts, the behaviors, etc., with the thing that we desire, because nature hates a vacuum, and something is going to fill that void, and that something could be the same or worse than what was already there. So we get to observe and identify where we are in consciousness. Then we get to explore various techniques. There are many for that. These are the kind of tools that you can get in Beauty Shop for the Soul that would take us through that cleansing or purification process that in the traditional beauty shop it would be called shampooing the hair and the scalp. So as we shampoo the way we cleanse, the way we think, then we just began to discover things that were already there in the beginning, things that are waiting for our recognition, waiting for the realization that there is no separation between us and the very thing that we desire. Perhaps, and let me just ask the question, have you ever had so much energy on something that it was just consuming all your time and your energy, exhausting you, to the point that at some time you decided, forget it, and just threw your hands up and just let it go. And the moment you let it go, bam, something happened. The very thing that you had been wanting and trying to make happen is happening, simply because you got your bloated nothingness out of the way, not by any strategy, but it's the same result. As Emerson said, get thy bloated nothingness out of the way and allow the divine, and when we allow these circuits to work, something marvelous and magnificent happens to us, but it must happen through us. We are the place where the Creator shows up on the planet. Then, after the shampooing, of course, you get to condition yourself. And how do you do that? There are various techniques for that as well. So, one of the other stories that about forgiveness and this forgetting us, there are some people that, for whatever reason, perhaps they had a different life purpose or intent when they showed up on the planet. But one of the stories that I saw, on the internet was about a young pastor in, I think he was also in San Diego. Anyway, at any rate, he had a young wife. He had been a pastor less than 10 years. He and his wife, after several years of marriage, had a little girl named Faith, and Faith at the time was a year old. But the wife and Faith, the one-year-old daughter, the wife was pregnant, were in a head-on accident. A driver going the opposite direction, who was a fireman, he had had a 24-hour shift that had been very hectic, and he had only had about 30 minutes of sleep in a 24-hour period of time. And lo and behold, when he got into the car on his drive home, he fell asleep. Hadn't slept except for 30 minutes during a 24-hour period of time, and now at the wheel, he falls asleep. And his vehicle veers across the road and head-on hits the car with the wife, the pregnant wife, and the mother of a one-year-old child whose name happened to be Faith. And so the mother and the son were killed. The baby, of course, the fetus. The mother was close to 8 months pregnant, I believe. But the child, Faith, I don't even remember hearing that there were any injuries, which is also the case sometimes with little children. Who don't know what's going on at the time, and so they don't go through that tensing up of the body and making it more difficult to be safe under those conditions or circumstances. But what happened was that for this particular pastor, his forgiveness process was in using the application of the scriptures. In particular, he likes Matthew, where it says, with man, things are basically impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so as we began to embody this energetically, one of the techniques for embodiment is to actually, when you go to a service on Sunday, there's always an invitation preceding the service. And so when you're doing prayer, you can as well do an invocation. I would say an invocation to open up the channels in your body so that the energy flows more freely, because what happens when we get stressed and tensed up? It affects our breathing. It affects our heartbeat and heart rate. It affects so many different things, including the release of toxins and impurities into the bloodstream. You know that we're such a marvelous machine. We're so phenomenal because the brain has all this communication going on, and when it gets a temptation that it's not safe, then it prepares you to protect and defend yourself by either escaping or fighting. However, excuse me, we now know in recent years that there's a third option. It's not just fight or flight. It is actually to transcend. And we can transcend that. And how do we do that? But by understanding. Understanding that there's a presence and power in the universe that's greater than we are, that it is an infinite intelligence that is available 24/7. So how do you tap into that? How do you? You could do it by accident. But if you do it by accident, how do you consciously apply this process under stress or strain? You don't. You have to wait on luck, L-U-C-K, luck. But what is luck? I love one of the acronyms for that luck is an acronym for living under correct knowledge, L-U-C-K, living under correct knowledge. And correct knowledge will lead to a spontaneous demonstration of spiritual law. There are certain principles involved in a spontaneous demonstration of spiritual law. Now, some people, they do it repeatedly without really knowing. People like Ernest Holmes and Charles Gilmore, they could go straight to realization, realizing the presence and power of the universe. But for those of us who are more challenged, perhaps, then we need to be more methodical in understanding that the first step is death. When we are turning away from the world, we are turning into a recognition of this presence and power. So first step is just recognizing the potential and possibility that there's something greater, and the seeds of greatness are on the inside of you, me, all of us. It's been implanted there like a hologram. So when we recognize that this is the truth of our being, and we believe that's the first step, as we turn away from these illusions, and then to recognize that even though we appear to be separate and apart from each other and from everything in the universe, in fact, we're not. That's what they're telling us now in science. It is just that the energy is more condensed, I guess, maybe the best word. That may not be what the scientists call it. So that we appear to be solid, but we know that not only are we not, but we also are connected to everything throughout the universe, which is why, have you ever put your hands for a few minutes, and if not, you might just enjoy this experience or experiment. If you've ever stood with the palms of your hands on a tree, there was a time when we thought that trees were inanimate objects. But when you lay your hands on the tree, just and allow them to rest there, in a short period of time, you begin to feel a pulse coming from the tree. And we used to do an activity where you could actually exchange this energy and feel the flow of energy as it comes into you, through you, and back into the tree, and vice versa. And if you move from one tree to another, you'll feel a different energy, frequency, and vibration. So the same thing happens to us as we are making this shift. We're changing our vibrations, changing the way we look at things, and then changing that we look at. And so this young pastor, after the loss of his wife and child, of course, he still had the one-year-old child to care for, but he immediately began his application process of principles that he had been studying as a minister. But a lot of times we think we know things, but we don't know what we know until the circumstances present themselves and give us an opportunity to apply what we think we know. The proof of the pudding is in the pudding. Before we run out of time, I just want to tell you about Louis Hay, as I mentioned earlier. In addition to, and I don't know if I was no longer on the planet, but back in the 70s, I did a workshop with Dr. Simonson, who was an oncologist. Dr. Simonson, as an oncologist, encountered people who had been basically medically diagnosed as incurable. They had done medically all that they could do for them, and they then therefore referred them to an oncologist. And so his days were filled with working with cancer patients. And so he began seeking to find what could he do to enhance what was being done medically. And what came up for him was to use to activate the imagination of these patients. And so he literally had them. An interesting aspect of this, by the way, was he said that when he invited his corporate imagination, and it was only going to be for like 2 minutes at a time, morning, noon, and night. And Dr. Simon has said 60% of the patients would not even consider it. They had resigned themselves to the fact that their situation was incurable or for whatever other reasons, and they may have had many. But for those who were willing to do this, he had them visualizing their white blood cells as soldiers on a horse, and on horses, and they were riding, looking for to destroy. It was a search and seize their imagination, their visualization technique, and there were great successes. Many of them were healed, had more extended life, and more comfort in life. But how amazing is it that 60% were not even considered? One of the other stories that Dr. Simonson shared with us about imagination, his own father didn't have cancer, but he had a heart attack. In his mid-50s, he was just under 55, so not quite at the middle. He was 53 or 54. But he had a major heart attack. And in Dr. Simonson's interactions with his father, he discovered that his father had this belief that he would not live longer than his own father, which is to say Dr. Simonson's grandfather. He had died at age, 55, and so the son had harbored this fear for all of his life from the time that his own dad passed, that he too would pass at the same time. And so what do you think that Dr. Simonson did with his dad? He invited him to use his imagination. So he had him to begin to reflect upon a period of his life 20, 25 years before the time of this heart attack. Did he indulge in? What was the things that he enjoyed and preferred doing? And so he had him spend time every day reliving, so to speak, the past, playing the music that was played a couple of decades ago. All the things that I just mentioned, this now became his focus of attention, and the father was healed. This is something that you can do. It doesn't cost you any time. It takes some time, but it doesn't cost you any money. You could do this and not have astronomical bills, chemo and radiation, and this is nothing against medicine or doctors. It's just a realization of the connection between the mind and the body. There is a connection, and so Dr. Simonson was a pioneer in this mind-body connection in the medical field. This was totally out of alignment with the way that he had been trained. And he had been sparked, as I said earlier, by his consistent daily work with patients who were literally dying and not having any other alternative. So Dr. Simonson, his work is, there was a real challenge for him for a period of time because it was so innovative and so against the medical establishment. And other medical doctors have said that it's because of the billions of dollars that are generated from the medical treatments that patients give. And so the system is designed to generate money. And using your mind and et cetera, it's no cost to them, it's a loss to them. That's kind of an irony there. But there are many, many, many records of these situations where people like Dr. Simonson's patients and as well as his father were healed from just the application of their imagination. And incidentally, speaking of imagination, that's one of the faculties of man. There's literally a center in our bodies, according to Charles Gilmore, who was the, I don't want to say creator, because he didn't create it, but it was given to him. He was a co-founder of Unity Church, a Unity Worldwide. And so just like you have the chakra centers in the body, wheels of energy, we have a ganglionic nerves at various points throughout the body, and each of these nerves are connected to a particular personality trait or characteristic. For example, right behind the heart center, there's a set of ganglionic nerves, and the heart is associated with love. Well, for patients, of course, love is an issue, but often we don't feel they love themselves. Pretty much they might say yes, but the chances are if you observe their behavior, you'll see that it's a no. So part of the process is learning to love yourself. But another aspect or another of the faculty, they have a center right through the middle of the head, the ganglionic center, and it's described by Gilmore as the center for faith. So that if you could run a line from front to back of your head, from your forehead to the back and from side to side, where those lines intersect, that's the center for faith. And faith is a faculty that can be strengthened in us. Even though you may begin with an unbelief, that belief formed and by the transforming of that through the ability, the recognition that it has to do with things unseen. It's a tool for shaping the unformed substance of the universe. And as we give shape to that, as we give the attention and focus to that, it takes form in our lives, physically, mentally, emotionally, and otherwise. Every single thing. This studio that we're operating through, it was first in someone's mind, just like an aeroplane or a vehicle, any other vehicle. The home you live in, every single thing starts and ends in mind. And so use our mind, not lose our mind. And we are losing it when we think that there's anything or anyone that has greater power over us than we have over ourselves. It's not the truth of our being. Sometimes it's helpful to have someone else that you work with. And, of course, Judy Shout for the Soul is available to assist anyone who does not feel initially able to apply the principles and techniques that we're talking about here. There are so many ways to do it. You could have a mastermind partner. But it does take, in the same way that you would not dare go without brushing your teeth. If you go 2 weeks without applying the principles, it's like a muscle not being used, and it diminishes and gets weakened. But by our conscious application of it, we get to experience more of our true essence. And so that is available to us in this forgiveness process. There are so many wonderful stories, as Jack Webb used to say, in the Naked City about people and experiences. You know, if you have a pet at home, generally pets are like babies. They're like little children. No matter what you do to them, they love you anyway. Have you noticed that? And so, are we able to be like our pets? And generally, we, in honesty, we probably would have to say no. But the potential to do that, to be that, to have that experience is there. And incidentally, there is a project. There's a project called the Amends Project. And in the Amends Project, you know, there is a community of people working with people with this potential and probability, learning how to release and let go and experience and express and demonstrate your true essence, which is a magnificent, marvelous spiritual being. For giving, we are letting go and letting the universe handle its own affairs. The battle is not ours. It's the law, the Lord. And so as we get our bloated emptiness out of the way, we begin to have marvelous day by day by day. So next week, call me and tell me what your experience is. Be willing first just to let go and let the universe direct your path. So I'm decreeing and declaring for you that divine guidance, direction, and protection is yours. You just need to say yes. And before you call, it has already been answered. And while you're yet speaking, it has been heard. And so, great, wonderful, glorious week. And I'll look for you next week.
Thank you for listening to Beauty Shop for the Soul with host Joanne Buckner here on Earth Angels Radio. For more information on Joanne, please visit earthangelsradio.com. You can also contact Joanne by email at ourbeautifulsouls@gmail.com or call her at 702-622-4937. What better way to transform than a day at the beauty shop? Beauty Shop for the Soul.